You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine, proud to bring you our weekly news recap for the week of the 15th of December. Today we're going to be talking about the tricky topic of selling and leasing over the Christmas period, what to do over the holidays if you're in the office, and what KPIs you should be focusing on to have a really successful 2018. With me again this week is my main man, Mark Edwards. So Mark, we thought we'd be kind of winding down this week, but it's not been the case. There's been heaps of stuff in the newsroom and generally everyone still seems pretty busy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I thought it would have been putting the feet up a little bit, but even just with preparing for this session today, I thought it might have been scraping it a bit, but I tell you what, there's heaps going on.
Yeah, there is still heaps going on. It sort of feels like everyone's trying to sort of get their last few words in before holidays. I know that the newsroom's had lots of stuff in it, some good, some kind of average, but yeah. I mean, there's been a lot in there.
So. Well, there's been a lot of talk around the country for the industry groups. The RAIV has basically come out and said that one in the three Melbourne suburbs have now got a median house price of over $1 million.
Yeah, so that's certainly catching up to Sydney, where the median house price is somewhere around $1 million for freestanding homes at any rate. And you never know. I mean, everyone's sort of saying a softer 2018, but I guess we'll see. And there's always been some cracking demand for properties in Sydney and Melbourne. So.
Yeah, it sure has. Talking about the Sydney side of things, New South Wales government, they basically opened the books as to what happened in the budget.
Yeah, that's right. So Dominic Perrottet this week in his half-yearly report card scored an A.
He did.
An A in stamp duty. And an A in having a surplus. So $3.3 billion was the New South Wales surplus.
Yes, it's a very healthy number, isn't it?
It is a very healthy number. And so the Property Council this week were suggesting that perhaps enough propping up the state government with property-related taxes.
Yeah, yep.
But also on the same hand, they're sort of saying, all right, well, if you're going to do that, at least put more into social infrastructure, put yep. more into affordable housing and all yep. of that sort of thing. So it'd be good to see some more of that next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking, I suppose, of where the cash comes from, there's another foreign investment surcharge was being introduced in South Australia. We actually had a chat with Alex Owens with his RESA hat on.
Yeah.
And also some information which came through from Carrie Law from Jawai as well.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've seen over 2017 is foreign investors have been hit from all angles, really. Mm. And although the state taxes are different levels, what the South Australian Treasurer said, Tom Koutsantonis, is that how you say that? He said that the state was going to beef up the foreign investor surcharge that was proposed in July from 4% to 7%. So that surcharge is in addition to stamp duty down there, and they're backdating it. So on one hand, the government down there are making great inroads in their internet, like 10 gigabit Adelaide, which is designed to draw people to the city. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be a smart city. Mm. And all of a sudden, to tax foreign buyers and things like that, it seems a little illogical. And even Jawai kind of said, well, the Chinese and other foreign buyers expect that it's going to cost them more to invest in Australia. However, nobody likes being sort of ninja'd.
Like, retrospectively.
Yeah, retrospectively. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out in Adelaide over the next 12 months. But, yeah, it's concerning for all, I think.
Yeah, I think it's something that a lot of people are going to look at, and I'm sure that, you know, so some of the other state governments will have a look at it as well as a test case. Hopefully it won't be setting a precedent that will flow on for other states, but it's a wait and see. There was some fun news out of South Australia, though.
Oh, man, I love these guys. I love RESA, because South Australia, right, you always expect the eastern states to be leading the pack in all sorts of ways. But in Victoria, like, the government wanted to change the legislation to say you can't disallow pets unless you've really got a good reason. Mm. So South Australia have sort of come up, and all of their contracts and things are electronic, and I think that they were the first to do that. So now that they've come out with a template for having a pet in a rental property.
It's great, isn't it?
It is good. Obviously, that's something that we'd love to have one day if our landlord's listening. But that was pretty cool out of RESA.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, there's a number of different things that are happening around the country. You know, so if we went through it all, we'd be sitting here forever. But one of the things that really caught my eye was one from the REIQ. they were basically did a roundup of all the various different coastal housing markets. Noosa reigns supreme with 9.6% annual growth in that area. So a lot of people are seeing the value of that particular area, and it's a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, the beaches are not traditionally good areas for investors, particularly if you want your property tenanted all year, because they're known as holiday destinations, even though the weather's probably 10 times better there than in Sydney most of the year. There's another property research site that came to our attention this week called Location Score, and they've crunched the numbers and identified the top holiday hotspots for property investment across the country. Obviously, same characteristics appear, but...
Yeah, it is sort of changing a little bit though, isn't it? Because if you look at the traditional model of buying an investment property, hoping you're going to be able to have a tenant in there that will be there for your 12-month term, then, you know, in some of these more holiday destination locations, it's a little difficult to be able to get those people in there for that amount of time.
But some of them, like, and this is where it's interesting and probably where this next story comes in, is that the economics of some holiday rentals is that if you can rent it out during that peak season for a premium, it's almost worthwhile leaving it empty. Like, there are sites...
Well, you saw something this week that landlords are now starting to offer only 11-month tenancy terms.
Because they want a regular tenant in there for 11 months and then be able to hike that up.
And that's where then this trend then shifts from your traditional long-term landlord to your short-stay landlord that's, you know, sort of renting the property out. The whole Airbnb thing is gathering speed, particularly with landlords who are looking at the benefits that they're able to get out of a short-term rental versus a long-term rental.
But the benefits are only, I'm sounding like a commercial here, but the benefits are only available if you've got the right insurance, right? So Sharon Fox later had something in the magazine, this issue, just about, you know, I suppose property managers and businesses that are into property management can probably sell the benefits of their service over a DIY service, because there are plenty of property managers out there who are now actually specialing in Airbnb rentals and managing those rentals, is that to make sure that you've got the right insurance, because a lot of these DIY landlords who think, oh, I'll just put my...
For that 1 month during the Christmas period.
For that 1 month during the Christmas period, and then somebody trashes the place and their insurance for regular tenancy does not at times cover the Airbnb thing. So it's just something to watch out for, I guess. And, you know, if you sort of come against up against that DIY Airbnb question...
It's nothing to be concerned about. It's just, you know, you can then play a part as an advisor to your landlord as to, are you properly covered?
Absolutely. Trusted advisor, that's where you need to be. So most of you have heard of BrickX. That's the service where you can buy different bricks in property. So they're part of an up-and-coming trend we're seeing towards what's called fractional property investment, which means if you don't have enough of a deposit to pay for a property.
Well, let's face it, there's not too many people, for example, in the Sydney market that's going to have 200 grand just sitting around waiting to put as a down payment for your deposit on a property.
Well, that's right. We learned last week that it takes 20 years to save for something in Mosman. So the idea behind BrickX was that the BrickX company, because crowdfunding real estate is a bit tricky in Australia, you can't just go and, you know, sort of stick a property on Kickstarter and hope that you can get enough people in to buy, you know, different parts of the property. So BrickX have selected properties where you can then buy bricks in those properties. So there's 100 bricks per property, even if there's more physical bricks. And then you can go and buy a number of bricks, and then when the property is sold...
You're selling your shareholding.
You're selling your shareholding, basically. And with BrickX, they choose the properties. Now, that's all very well and good, but what if you see a house on, you know, realestate.com.au or something like that, that is the house of your dreams? And you think, well, why can't I have a brick in that house? And so this is what this co-vestor opportunity is now. So no longer are you looking at a house that someone's chosen to invest in, but you can actually...
You can form a syndicate.
You can form your own syndicate. So you can go and get your mates together who might want to buy a particular house, whether it's a holiday rental or whatever, and then Covestor will...
They'll manage all the trusting and all that sort of stuff,
To make sure that works.
So I think, so the basis is that they break it down into, sort of 100 shares or 100 units of the particular property itself, and you invest as to how many shares that you want in that particular property. They also got some really interesting little quirks as well, is that if you happen to want to buy a 20% shareholding in the property, you can be the tenant. as well.
Yeah.
And deduct your 20% from the rent for the property. And then after a period, I think they basically sort of hold it for 5 years, and then they ask the shareholders, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to hold it? Do you want to sell it? Do you want to liquidate it? And so forth. So
it's a registration process. So say you're on your own, you don't have any friends that want to co-invest with you, then you can register the house that you want to buy with your details and the property, and they may go and find people that want to co-invest with you.
Yep.
So it's almost like a weird kind of Uber of investment.
Yeah, they're also saying that people are going to be able to dip into their self-managed supers as well, so they can invest their super funds into these, because it's actually held in trust.
Yeah.
No one actually owns it other than, well, everybody owns it, but it's held in trust. So, look, I think it's definitely going to be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so that opened for pre-registrations last weekend. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't talk about it last week because it was under embargo, and it's due to go live in early 2018. Yep. So yet to be seen whether that's another angle that you want to be talking to potential buyers about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if something's just out of someone's reach, it may be a way to sort of move properties to a syndicate that hasn't been seen before. And because it's not limited to a property that someone's chosen for fractional investment, you know, it could literally be anyone's property. So I think that will be an interesting one to watch, Mark, in 2018 as well.
Absolutely.
Now back to the silly season, and it has been a bit of a silly season, and speaking of buyers and sellers, there's still people around, and I guess what the clear message is you know, we've been busy, and it doesn't feel to me like anyone's actually sort of left town yet.
No.
But what we've done this week is we've had a bit of a Christmas hack theme for the people that are definitely staying over the holiday period. And we know a lot of property managers deserve a medal over this period, because the emotions of Christmas make people do some really stupid things like, oh, I think I'll get the soda stream out, or, you know, that they remember those old glass bottles. I can remember an uncle or a cousin of mine, I can't remember quite what, but the old glass bottles, decided that on Christmas Day they'd make some fizzy stuff.
Yep.
And hadn't used the machine in a million years.
Great.
And blew up a couple of glass bottles.
Excellent.
And ended up with things lodged everywhere and in hospital. But people do crazy things at Christmas. So property managers, we feel you.
Hearts are out there for you.
And we do wish you a safe and uneventful as possible festive season. Now, speaking of which, there's a theory that you shouldn't be marketing rentals over Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, Danielle Hunter from Biggin & Scott sort of came out and said, actually, no, it's a good time to market rentals because you're not in so much competition with anyone.
And everybody's got the time on their hands, don't they? A couple of years ago, we were doing exactly the same thing. And we found it difficult to be able to find the property to look at up until probably the second week of January, and then all of a sudden everything is back on again.
Yeah.
But even in our own experience, would have jumped at having a look at the opportunity for opens during the quiet period.
Well, that's it, because you've sort of got a bit more time.
You do.
So, and then you can kind of talk to people a bit more, and I mean,
and this is what Danielle was basically saying, is that use that to your advantage, because there are still people out there looking for opportunities, and it's not necessarily everyone's upping stumps and heading interstate.
Yeah, so that's probably something to tell your owners if they're saying, oh, you know, I don't know about marketing it over Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I always say, Mark, everything is a test till it's not.
Well, that's very, very true. And Adam Flynn also spoke about it from the sales side.
He's also from Biggin & Scott. Yeah, so he was sort of saying that it is possible to increase your listings over the Christmas period. So he had some good advice there on sellers that don't want to market their property over Christmas, but you can easily extend the campaign to sort of end on a particular date that may be more conducive after Australia Day when school goes back and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
But also same thing, like you're not in as much competition with other people. You can spend more time with buyers and sellers.
Yep.
Everyone's feeling a bit more relaxed and, you know, away you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, we had Sherry Storer. She wrote us a fantastic article for the magazine called Beating the New Year Blues. And she looked at it from both sides of things. So had lots of fun with Sherry during Transform and at our event and all the rest of it. And she's actually doing coaching full time now, just so you know. But she looked at it from two sides. So if you're staying put, what are the steps that you need to do to keep your pipeline moving along? And then she also looked at the other side, which is if you're taking a break, because some people actually do need a break. I know, you know, you and I are looking forward to having a little bit of break.
You're already packing, aren't you?
Yeah, but what... I'm already packing. And there's some really practical tips there about just staying connected with the community and things like that. Just having coffee with people and doing things around the local area.
And also keeping your social profile humming along as well, not just to shut down there in the event that you are actually still on the tools.
Yeah, so some great practical advice there from Sherry, so definitely check that one out. Now, some more practical advice from Kylie Dulhunty. So at the moment, everyone's sort of thinking about the tricky subject of Christmas gifts. So let's talk about this, shall we? Do you put a logo on the Christmas gift or not? I mean, my feeling is not. Absolutely not.
Well, look, sometimes you want to receive something that is going to be usable. You're not necessarily going to be wanting to parade down the beach with a, you know, sort of a beach umbrella with somebody else's logo plastered all over it.
Yeah.
On the flip side.
Well, you and I have got to be really careful about that, actually. Like, you know, as I've sort of said to a few people this week, it's hard because people then think we're promoting it because that's our business.
Yep.
But see, the reason I say no is the wine that you might be able to get, that you might be able to relabel. I had a bit of a rant about this a few years ago. It's usually really crappy wine and it goes straight into the bottom of the cupboard. You know, the other gifts that are branded and things like that, unless it's something really cracking that I want to use, it goes to the back of the cupboard as well, because I could maybe go and find something nicer somewhere else. And even worse, is, you know, the Christmas card I got today, which was just a blatant plug for
their business.
For their business.
It wasn't even hand signed.
The season's greetings. It wasn't hand signed. The season's greetings message was so small in it that I couldn't tell whether it was some sort of letterbox drop. We talk about often, you know, with our commercial partners, don't we, about positive brand experiences and not positive brand experiences. And so in this attention economy these days, I think that every experience that someone has to have with your brand is a positive experience. And if you're going to send out Christmas gifts, then it needs to be, oh, wow, this is really nice, this is really thoughtful, not they're trying to market their stuff to me.
Yep. And you don't need to do a whole lot to do an oh, wow experience.
I don't think you do. I think you just need to do something that's kind of thoughtful and from the heart. And even if it's a short handwritten note or something like that where people go, oh, wow, they were thinking of me.
Yeah.
And basically, so Kylie's got some good last-minute suggestions there. And we also put a last-minute suggestion if you haven't done your cards yet. It's a great little online service called Paperless Post. And particularly for you property managers that might be listening, think about sending your tenants a paperless postcard with the emergency numbers and things like that over the Christmas period if you do happen to be shutting down.
Yep. You know, and still, it's just a really nice little way, rather than just your standard corporate email. It's something different, and they're going to go, all right, well, actually, that will help me out in if I do happen to need help during the Christmas break.
Yeah, just stay away from the old jib jab videos, I think.
You're a little bit of a you're a culprit there.
I'm a bit of a fan. I think they're for internal fun, frankly. But you know, like if anyone wants to see the one of Mark chopping down the Christmas tree, you'll have to email me privately.
That one was a bit disturbing.
It was pretty disturbing. Yeah. But anyway,
moving right along,
we had a brush with semi-fame this week with Matt Lacey, who's been on Domestic Blitz a fair bit. He gave us, you enjoyed this one, gave us his top landscaping predictions for 2018.
Yeah, look, I'd love to be able to talk about this all day.
Yeah, what's hot and what's not?
So fire pits, they are trending as hot. Succulents, cactuses, basically anything that's like low maintenance, looks nice and clean and tidy. Sphere-pruned plants.
Sphere pruned plants.
Don't say that too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is not in, though, is metal imitating timber.
Yeah, so anyone who's planning on the whole white picket fence thing, make sure it is actually white pickets that are made of wood and not of metal. Otherwise, you know, some buyer's going to come along and go, ooh. All right, moving along, the article of the week. No surprises on this one because it was a great article, and as always, Mark McLeod, short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah.
And often we talk about fancy things and shiny objects because, you know, we try to stay ahead of the trends and all that sort of thing, but it is sporting season, and Mark gave us all a reminder that sometimes it's not the smart things and the fancy moves. It is doing the basics well.
Yep.
And not making any mistakes.
Yeah.
So January is time for a lot of tennis games. We see them a lot. And they count in tennis unforced errors.
Yep.
And what that is that's when someone's trying to be a bit of a show-off.
Mm-hmm.
and flings the racket the wrong way, and obviously it ends up out of the court. It's nothing that your opponent did. It's just because you just sucked a bit on that.
You lost
the discipline.
Yeah.
So he talked about some interesting KPIs that he thinks it will take to be successful in 2018. So KPI number one is appraisals. So again, I thought this was really brilliant, and a change in thinking as well, is that most people view that appraisal as the vehicle to the listing. You know, that's where Tom sort of says, you know, don't have commission breath and all the rest of it. But if you change the word appraisal to relationship commencement meeting, doesn't it put you in a different frame of mind? Yeah. Like, I really did like that. And he's sort of saying 40 a month. Your number one KPI, 40 relationship commencement meetings.
Yeah. You know, what he's basically saying is it's not necessarily the place where you need to go and do the hard sell to get the listing.
Yes.
Sometimes if you actually go down that path of pushing too hard at the beginning, can have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Being able to just start to build the relationships with your potential vendors is in that appraisal.
Yeah, get to know people before you sell to them. So open for inspections, he's saying that you need to have a minimum of 5 OFIs every Saturday.
He actually made a really good point. So a couple of points to took away from this one. Your OFI is essentially your retail outlet.
Mm-hmm.
It's where everyone gets to see you.
Yep.
Other than, I suppose, a further point, which
on
was
Facebook, in the, on Facebook Live and all those other places, but yep.
But also the other thing is, if you don't have 5, open up twice. Your vendors would love you.
Yeah, that's it. So I can definitely see that if it's a case of opening up in the morning and in the afternoon.
Yep.
Then
you're having done the OFI rat run.
Yeah.
You sometimes you think to yourself, geez, I would love to have been able to see that property, but it just clashes with something else. If you've got a couple of options
well, again,
there.
Particularly over Christmas, you might have, you know, coffee with Auntie Jan in the morning and you might be seeing Uncle Jeffrey for drinks in the afternoon and you want to be able to choose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go drinks with Jeff.
Moving along, pipelines. So again, we're talking about, you know, bringing people from relationship commencement through to sale or purchase.
Yep.
And so these are the people that you want to connect with over a period of time. And Mark's saying that an acceptable number in your pipeline is 50 people.
Yep.
So at any point in time, you want to try and make sure that you've got 50 people in there that you're managing along some sort of process or keeping in touch with
and
them.
And when you break it down, it's not a huge number.
No.
2.5 conversations a day.
Yeah, it's pretty doable.
If you can't talk to 2 people a day, 5 days a week, 2.5, I don't know how you speak to half a person, but anyway, it's not a huge number when you actually break it down to something that you can actually execute against. So, I mean, that's one of the things which Macca is really quite good at doing, breaking it down to the lowest common denominator that you can execute against.
Yeah. Auctions, obviously, now this is where Macca's at his best. I love this quote. You know, so it's debatable. Like, some areas are not auction kind of areas, but then Macca says, I've yet to see a crowd waiting outside a house whilst you negotiate a private treaty. So, you know, I think what he's trying to get at there is to attract more people and to attract more, and we'll even build relationships with more people. If you've got more people there, obviously you're going to get to know more people. Yep. So enough said
and
on
again,
that one.
As with the OFIs, people are going to see you in action and get to know you, get to understand you and so forth. So I think it's another great way of having your retail outlet.
Yeah, and then obviously the last one is customer satisfaction. So work out yourself why you've won the listing or why you may have lost the listing, you know, because then you can tweak your performance, what you did well during the sales process and what you can improve on.
Yep.
Those sorts of things are really important in placing yourself well amongst your competition.
Yeah. It is just as important to ask why you weren't successful in one particular venture as opposed to why you were. Don't just go after the positive stories, because if you keep on hearing the positive, you'll never learn from the negative.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it's actually a better lesson to learn from what you did wrong rather than what you did right.
Absolutely.
So basically it's activity.
Well, you know, activity and connection.
Yeah, but it's actually good to have those numbers to aim for. So if you're wondering where you need to be to win that neighbourhood share, then they are good numbers to aim for.
Yeah.
Starting now. Like, get ready now. Don't leave it till January.
And I think, so to sum that up, you said that connection is key.
Well, that's it. You know, if you lose your connection with the community, like, so you've just got to take the opportunity to connect with as many people as you can on as many different levels, on as many different days as you can. Otherwise, you know, that's where the technology steps in and someone thinks, well, the technology is
and
better
people,
value.
And the people get in between you and the vendor or you and the buyer. Yep. And that's where the interceptors get into it.
Yeah. Obviously, on the brief, we do the weekly wrap and Saturday is podcast day. So during the week, we started counting down the top five most read articles of 2017. So the first one of those was on Thursday, and then I think next week we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday again.
Yep.
So that should leave us with the trending articles on Friday as a nice bookend to the year. So at number five was none other than Gavin Rubenstein. So earlier in the year, for listeners who might be new to the show or new to Elite Agent, we had a program called Transform, and we had six agents learning from the best coaches that we could possibly get each week. And Gavin, in his busy schedule, selling those beautiful multi-million dollar properties in the eastern suburbs, came and actually did a mock listing presentation with the guys. So they actually got to see firsthand how Gavin approaches a listing presentation. And then he was nice enough to hang around and ask questions or answer questions from the guys about different aspects of what they had just seen from Gavin. And that's actually, it's a video post, but it got a hell of a lot of traction. I mean, who doesn't love Gavin? And
but in particular, I think what people were really interested in is what is it that he does in his listing presentation in order for him to be successful in what is probably Australia's most competitive market in Double Bay.
Yeah, definitely. And that's probably why he had an event, What It Takes, because, you know, everyone sort of sees the outside, you know, which is the duck skimming across the surface. And believe me, he is one very smooth duck. But underneath, we're all paddling like bejesus.
So it was a good one to get sort of behind the scenes to see what he does for his listing presentation.
Yeah, and he, interestingly, he does two. He goes and visits the client twice. So on the first visit is just really discovery and fact-finding, and he said he doesn't talk a lot about himself at all or what he's going to do. He just lets the client loose with dialogue and asks the right questions to put them at ease and let's have a look at the house and goes from that approach. And then the second one is, all right, I've heard all of this from you, and so this is the approach we're going to take.
Well, he's very much part of that relationship commencement meeting, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. It is definitely a relationship commencement meeting. Yep. So that video, it's only 5 minutes long. It's well worth a watch. We'll probably put out
some extended
highlights
version,
from Transform Out over summer in January.
Yep.
For you all, while you're all preparing for a fantastic 2018.
I think that's about it for this week, Sam.
Yeah, I think that's about it from us this week. We're actually off to do a couple of interviews this afternoon. Can you believe it? There's going to be a few announcements in the industry next week.
Who said that it was supposed to be quietening
down?
Yeah,
it's not quietening down at all. So have a great weekend, guys. There's still quite a few auctions and things like that on. Have a great weekend. Don't write Christmas off as a period when nothing happens, because we're seeing stuff happening continuously. And, have a great week next week.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Bye.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.